Hello and welcome to Democracy in Action. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba. Our episode today is going to be looking at the role of judiciary in good governance. That's what we are going to be discussing right here with me, Sunny Martin. And we have two guests with us here in the studio. They will be also joining us and talking to us right here. Our lines will be open to you later on where you can call on 0912062950 or 0912062970. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion as we look at the role of judiciary in good governance. An independent judiciary is very important for preserving the rule of law and is therefore most important factor of good governance. So how does this apply in the context of South Sudan? I am joined here in the studio by two of my guests. Dr. Gerry Raimondo Lege is the former Justice of the Court of Appeal, and he is also a professor at the University of Juba, teaching law at the moment. And welcome to Red Mirror.
Thank you. Thank you, Sunny Martin.
Okay. And I also have with me here Doris Pony Moga, who is a lawyer and Associate Rule of Law Officer working for the Rule of Law and Security Institution section with ANMIS, right?
Yes, thank you, Sunny Martin.
Yeah, most welcome. First of all, let's begin our discussion, and in the middle of our discussion, our lines should be open to our listeners where you can call and be part of this discussion. Right away, let's begin by a very simple definition. Doris, what is judiciary independence?
Okay, the judiciary being independent means that the judiciary exercises its powers without undue influence from other organs of the government, such as the executive and the legislature. It's one of the principles in our constitution that the judiciary must be independent, meaning that it works without undue influence from other organs of the government. And secondly, it also has an independent budget. So it's independent in all aspects, and the judicial officers are bound to professional standards and ethics that they must abide.
Right. And Dr. Gerry, like I said in the introduction, you can tell us also, because you have been there, you are the former justice of the Court of Appeal, and at the moment now you are a lecturer at the University of Juba. Is our courts independent in this country, or the judiciary, is it independent? Because before we go into the details of our discussion, this is some of the questions people have been asking. People don't have a lot of trust in our judiciary in this country. That's why, a very simple example, if somebody wants to open a case against any government institution, he or she runs to the East African Court of Justice.
Thank you, Sunny Martin. First and foremost, let me explain to the people of South Sudan that East Africa Court of Justice is part and partial of the courts of South Sudan. South Sudan is a member state. We have included there. We became a member in 2016, and there is no worry of embarking East Africa Court of Justice, because this is an opportunity created to people of South Sudan by the same government which is taking care of us in our country.
So, should we have trust in our judiciary system, and how independent are we as per the definition we have just had?
Yeah, but in order to be independent, let me tell the people of South Sudan that justice is very expensive, and our judges, why it is weak, why people are not trusting the judiciary of South Sudan, and especially the judges, because we need a good payment to the judges. You must buy justice, pay well to the judges, and pay also good to the clerk who are working in the court. If you compare us with the neighboring countries, Kenya, for example, how judges are looked like. Okay, the working environment in South Sudan is not conducive. Judges are coming to court on foot, on border, using public transport. What do you expect from him to do? And delayment of the salary. Since now, the last salary they received was in the one of September last year. And this judge has no any income. Where to do? Okay? Where to do? the government must be careful about the judges of this country and the judiciary to pay on time. Non-payment of salary to the judges, to the judiciary, by the executive, by the parliament, is also encroachment of the independence of the judiciary. Mm-hmm. Independence of the judiciary, but do not delay the payment of the salary of the judges.
So how does that impact the independence of the judiciary?
That is why is around now. Judiciary is not independent because judges are not happy. Mm-hmm. Judges are not comfortable. Even the organ which is responsible for taking care of the judges is slumbering. The Judicial Service Commission is not doing its work. Is not accountable. Is not accounting the Chief Justice, the leadership of the judiciary, and that is why we are now going under process of Judicial Reform Committee, which is chaired by a Ugandan former Principal Judge, Honorable Justice James Ogola, and Lady Justice, deputized by Lady Justice Joyce from Kenya, and members from South Sudan here. This committee, Judicial Reform Committee, is doing a great job. They have contacted many people, even the five vice president, including myself, who was also interviewed by them, and I've given my views about how to ascertain independence of the judiciary in the Republic of South Sudan.
Okay, before we hear from Doris, could you explain to our audience what is the role of judiciary in a democratic system? And also, could you describe the power separation methods? Yes, Dr. Raimondo.
Okay, for the role of the judiciary, our constitution is very clear. The role of judiciary is very vital. Judiciary is the custodian of our constitution and the laws of the country, including good governance, adherence to rule of law, democracy, accountability, adherence to human rights. And this is what we are waiting for. The only weakness for us in South Sudan, we don't have a good mechanism to safeguard, to help the judiciary. We have like Bar Association. Bar Association in South Sudan is scattered into six groups. And you can see now, okay, many groups are there. And even we have South Sudan Law Society. Instead of dealing with cases, okay, to safeguard, to combat wrong things done by the leadership in this country, and they're keeping silent. And for them, let me say frankly, they're coward. So justice must be embarked by the lawyers. Justice must be embarked by civil society. Our civil society are became politicians. Instead of taking care of the country, they are now running after the politicians. They are supposed to challenge any statement, any act done by the government, supposed to be combated in the court of law.
Mm. So, in your opinion, what can be done to iron out some of the grievances being elaborated by yourself right now? Because you said the civil society are not doing enough, the South Sudan Law Society are not doing enough, they have been, they're actually just sitting on their job.
Yes.
What can be done by them?
That is why the work is working on. Mm. The revitalized agreement of 2018 has created a judicial reform committee, and this judicial reform committee is going to come with something good. And let me be frank here. What is the role of this is to recommend, because we are under process of transitional justice. And you know, one of the characteristics of transitional justice, therefore, one is truth telling, two, criminal justice, number three, reparations, and number four, institutional reform. You put line institutional reform. So justice sector must be reformed. Those who are bad must go home. Mm. And those who are good must be maintained.
Is it easy?
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Are they there for, okay, they are human beings can be removed.
Okay. Mm. Yes, Doris, you, ANMIS is here to support the government, your partners in peace. How do you support the judicial system in this country as you work for the rule of law?
Okay, ANMIS supports the judiciary by deploying mobile courts to promote access to justice in remote areas. We have deployed several mobile courts circuit courts, joint special mobile courts in different locations in this country, including Malakal Mobile Court, Koch. We recently had a mobile court in Koch, which was the first time that the people of Koch have seen a formal justice taking place in their locality. So it was a tremendous move for that, and they have called upon the judiciary to deploy there permanently. We have also had circuit courts in Rajatown, Tonj, Bentiu in the past, and we're in the process of deploying a mobile court to Renk. These are all locations that have no presence of judges, acting judges currently. So that's why we support and work in collaboration with the judiciary and the Ministry of Justice to ensure that justice is promoted and that the citizens of South Sudan, in all parts of South Sudan, can have access to formal justice mechanisms.
And is there a success story from the deployment of this mobile court and the circuit court in, for example, Raja and Koch and Reng and other parts of the country? Is there a success story you can talk about that has really made a significant impact in terms of administering justice in those areas?
Well, for example, in Malakal, due to the lack of presence of a high court judge, once the court set up the mobile court there, there was decongestion of the prisons. And those who were in remand for a long period of time received justice, and they were able to go back to the community and reform. And for places like Koch, we have seen accountability for crimes that have been committed by the civilians, and no one was spared. One of the suspects was the son of a prominent person, and he too was held accountable and prosecuted. So these are some of the success stories we have seen: the decongestion and ensuring that accountability for grave crimes.
Okay. And what about the issue of backlog of cases? Has it also been helping in terms of this, the deployment of this circuit court? Because the last time we spoke to the commissioner of Raja County, he was calling for more judges to be deployed in Raja County because he has a lot of cases there to answer.
Yes, the purpose of this mobile court is actually to address case backlogs because of lack of presence of the judiciary. And hence, for the time frame that the court is there, it addresses the backlog cases. But then from the moment the court leaves until the next deployment, there's a gap, and hence there's another increment of cases. Hence, this mobile court is a temporary solution. It addresses backlog for the time of deployment, but as soon as the judges go back and before we could finance another mobile court, more cases come up. So the last time we were in Raja was in 2022, and I'm sure since 2022 up to now, there must have been increase of crimes and cases, and hence the need to find something more sustainable. Also, I would like to talk of one more success story. In Bueng County, we had the Director of Legal Administration initiate a court by himself. So these are good stories that the public should know, that even the government on its own initiative can deploy these courts. But we do know the overall challenges that is impeding the judiciary and the Ministry of Justice from fully deploying permanently in the states.
What are the guiding principles of justice in South Sudan?
Yeah, the guiding principles in South Sudan are just provided in Article 122, Clause 5.
Of the interim constitution?
Of the transitional constitution of the Republic. Mm. Interim constitution has gone long time ago. Uh-huh. This is transitional constitution of the Republic of South Sudan. One of them is justice shall be done to all irrespective of their social, political, or economic status, gender, religion, or belief. Mm-hmm. Two, justice shall not be delayed. And Sunny, people are just talking about justice should not be delayed. Mm-hmm. That is another coin. This is one coin. Mm-hmm. Justice hurried is justice buried. Mm-hmm. You know that?
Meaning,
you cannot, justice hurried. I have an example of one day when I was a justice of Court of Appeal. My colleague in the panel, he was assigned to write the first opinion, the first ruling. And he put just the judgment in one line. This appeal must be... this appeal is hopeless and must be dismissed. Mm-hmm. And he stopped like that. What is that? What is that?
Without
this is the scourge of justice. Mm-hmm. So that is why I came with this new principle of justice hurried is justice lurid. which means justice, Harry is justice killed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need to make a balance on this area. Don't delay cases of people and do not hurry. Make justice slowly but for sure. Number three, adequate compensation shall be awarded to victims of wrongs. This is the third principle. Number four, voluntary reconciliation agreement between parties shall be recognized and enforced. And finally, substantive justice shall be administered without undue regard to technicalities. These are the major principles of the judiciary system in our country, and they are very clear in our beautiful constitution.
Okay, let me take you back, Professor Gary. You talked about the challenges the judges are undergoing, lack of payment, no transport means. The judges are using boda-boda or even sometimes public means, and they have no other source of income. When you speak like that, and a common citizen is listening to you and he has a case against somebody, and he says, now if I go to court, really, will I get the deserved justice? What does it mean to the justice system in this country?
I'm saying this so that our government wake up to pay money to the judges on time. Okay. So, because this justice is pro-people, judiciary is pro-people judiciary. These are judiciary of the people, not of the judges. I'm saying again, let the government pay to our colleagues, our judges, and the support staff, the clerks, to pay on time so that not to be bribe. Let me be frank. Not be to be bribe. Justice must...
So, at the moment, they are prone to receiving some kind of bribe?
It is a matter of facts, need to be proved, but they are there. It needs to be proved, but they are there. We know they are there.
Okay.
But human being, you cannot. The most difficult one to prove is bribery, unless the owner say I receive.
Okay. These are legal terms.
So let me call our leadership, the president, because president is the caretaker of the judiciary. Is the only person to assign to approve the budget of the judiciaries if it is recommended by the judicial reform committee. Let our president pay to our judges, not to delay justice. Okay, we don't want our judges to be seen like what we are seeing, ugly judges. The only ugly judges in the world are the judges of South Sudan. Even we have been with our colleagues in Somalia, DRC, Central Africa, and Chad. You know, these are the least countries. But the payment of judges, their judges are very smart. I remember one day in 2015, I was representing South Sudan in Morocco, in Marrakesh. The only poor people who went to that conference, we were 148 judges in the whole world. And Dr. Gary was the one representing South Sudan, plus my colleague Abraham Mujurlat. What happened? We are given only $500. This is for washing of shocks, not only washing of the clothes in that area there. But our colleagues from Chad, from Somalia, from other these names of the countries, they were very comfortable, very rich. But Dr. Gary was in the conference, very rich in talking, in convincing people. But in knowledge, poor, we are number one, but poor in pocket.
Yes, you can still call us later on 0912062950 or 0912062970. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion. And we are looking at the role of judiciary in good governance. That's what we are discussing here in our topic today. We have in the studio Doris Pony Moga, who is a lawyer and associate rule of law officer working in the rule of law and security institutions section, United Nations Mission in South Sudan, and Professor Dr. Gary Raymond Lege, and he is the former Justice Court of Appeal, and he is also a lecturer at the University of Juba and an active lawyer at the moment, right? I can see you have a lot of books. From here, you'll be going to the court,
yes.
I assume.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the question here, I would like to find out, could you briefly explain the current structure and the status of the judiciary or judicial system in South Sudan?
This is a good question. The structure of the judiciary are provided in Article 123 of our transitional constitutions. The Affects Court, which is the Supreme Court in our country, is called Supreme Court of South Sudan. And this Supreme Court has panels within. The first panel, we have constitutional panel of the Supreme Court, and which must comprise from not less than 9 justices and be presided over by the Chief Justice himself or herself. And in the absence of the Chief Justice, the deputy is the one to chair. And if this court is not chaired by the deputy, by the Chief Justice and or Deputy Chief Justice, it will be considered incompetent court, because it is a constitutional mandate that the Chief Justice or the deputy to chair this court. The second panel is a criminal panel. And criminal panel comprises of 3 justices, and we have also civil panel comprises of 6 justices. And this is provided in Article 126, Clause 3 of our Constitution. The Supreme Court shall sit in the panels of 3 justices, each on all matters, except that when sitting as a constitutional panel, it shall consist of not less than 9 members of the Supreme Court and be chaired by the Chief Justice.
Do you have...
Then the second... The second category of the court is the Court of Appeal. So we have 3 Court of Appeal in South Sudan. We have Court of Appeal for Greater Upper Nile Circuit. We have Court of Appeal for Greater Bahr Ghazal Circuit. And finally, we have Court of Appeal for...
divided into three.
Up to the last one is Court of Appeal for Greater Equatoria.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Court of Appeal for Greater Upper Nile is displaced, because of the conflict, is now in Juba, and unfortunately it's only with only one judge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Justice Kulang Jarbom Mashwar is the only judge there.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you have enough judges in this country?
This is what we are worrying about. The Supreme Court, is incompetent to deal with any constitutional matter now, because the Constitution say it is comprised of not less than 9 justices.
The Supreme Court.
Yes.
Do you have all the judges?
Now I'm coming to answer this. That's how I'm coming. Now let me count you the name.
Yeah.
One, we have the Chief Justice, Honorable Justice Chanrish Modut.
Yeah.
This is the Chief Justice. Number 2, we have Honorable Justice Dr. John Garwish Lul, the Deputy Chief Justice. Number 3, we have Honorable Justice Ayag Darkom Awan, a member. We have Honorable Justice Loko Tranquilo Nyombe Wirja, member. And finally, we have Honorable Justice Dr. Benjamin Bagdeng. These are the proper justices of the Supreme Court. Imagine.
Five of them.
Only 5.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have 2 justices of Court of Appeal who are given powers of the Supreme Court. One of them is Honorable Justice is Stephen Simon Benjengwa Kerembele Kunu Wodi Jale. This is one.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is Honorable Justice Kujon Akot. These are the only 2 justices. If you compare, the number is inadequate.
Yes, to still 7.
It's still 7.
Mm.
And even this 7 is unconstitutional, because only according to the Constitution, the Constitution has given the Chief Justice to only appellate, to give power to only 1 justices of the Court of Appeal, not 2. And what he did even is unconstitutional. It is unlawful.
So he went for extra 1.
He went for extra, which is unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Constitution says only 1 judge is to be given that power. But now he has given more.
Why are we not having all the 9?
Because the Judicial Service Commission is slumbering.
Mm-hmm.
The Judicial Service Commission is incompetent. Judicial Service Commission is not doing its job. It must be upheld.
Mm-hmm.
That is why one of the recommendations by Dr. Gary to the Judicial Service Judicial Reform Committee is that to expound the number of the members of Judicial Service Commission to include civil societies like those of Ido Yakanyi,
mm-hmm.
To include those of women lawyers to be there, to include even our colleagues in the military justice, our colleagues in the police justice, our colleagues in the security and national security. We have colleagues there. Okay, we need them to be represented. And even we need the judges, because justice of Court of Appeal must be represented, though I'm not there before. Justice of High Court must be represented there, even county court judges, so that we discuss all affairs of the justice system in our country.
Mm.
Okay, this is what we are calling for. And because even now, for me, the members of Judicial Service Commission now. Let me count you. Who are they? So that you know. Okay, these people are provided the in Section 9 of the Judicial Service Council Act of 2009, and these are number one, the Chief Justice himself,
yeah,
a chair, two, the Deputy Chief Justice, and two senior justices of the Court of the Supreme Court, plus the Minister of Justice as ex officio member, the National Minister of Finance is a member, the Dean of the School of Law is a member, the Chair of Justice and Legislation Standing Committee in the National Parliament mm-hmm. is a member, and the President of Bar Association of Republic of South Sudan is a member. These are the members. These people are not doing a good job.
Okay, but they are there.
And they are just, they are not serious in doing their job.
Why are
and
they
let me
job?
Me conclude to you. Mm. You remember during our strike, and yeah. this is what I spoke before for me in Sunny. Yes. I don't fear anybody except God and the laws of this country. Mm-hmm. Even I spoke this to our president, Kirma Erdin, in his office in J1. Okay? See, these people are stumbling. They're not doing their job. Even when we came out for a strike, they did not call us. They are supposed to call us. We are expecting them to call us okay. because these are the people appointing us and these are the people accounting us. They were slumbering. They don't want to fear us. When we went to our president, Kirma Herdin, I talked to him frankly. Said, Mr. President, these people, they don't want to call us. That is why we embargo you, because you are the last person. You are the one responsible for us in this country. Yeah, that's why we are here in your office okay. to tell our grievances and solve them. Thank you.
And we know what happened anyway. You can still call us. Let's find out from before our lines are open. Doris, you've heard a lot from Professor Gary. And when you talk about judiciary independence and the question some people will be asking, how can other organs of government advocate and the citizens at large to ensure that we have independent judiciary in this country?
Okay. I think that the reason why the judiciary has been compromised is due to lack of incentives, proper motivation. But regardless of that, other organs of the government, such as the executive and the legislature, ought to desist from influencing the judiciary through all means. You know, sometimes some things might not be considered, might not look like a bribe, but it's actually a bribe. So let us desist from influencing or interfering with the due process of the law. Mm-hmm. And number two, for citizens also need to desist from paying bribes to judges. They need to you know, whenever there's any conflict of interest, the lawyers also have to raise this, so that we ensure that judge, if he is has an interest in that case, he needs to be removed and another judge needs to take over the case. So that is another way. And lastly, I would also urge the judiciary, the officials of the judiciary, to adhere to their professional standards and ethics. And I'm sure there's a disciplinary board within the judiciary that can address such matters. So I would really urge the judiciary to take such allegations seriously, because this has caused a lack of trust between citizens and the judiciary, meaning all cases of bribery or interference of the judiciary needs to be addressed.
Okay, and when should we expect more deployment of these circuit courts or mobile courts being supported by ANMIS? Any next move? Which county or which state?
Yes, thank you so much. We are currently working with the county commissioner of rank and the PPA and the court, it's a county court, yeah, in Rank, to deploy a court in Rank County. We're also planning another court in Mayom and Maban counties of Upper Nile. So the plans are ongoing. We have conducted an assessment, and in Rank we have identified 33 cases, of which 8 of them are SDBV cases, and we look forward to ensuring that these cases are adjudicated in a timely manner and that the parties appear in the court.
So what are the criteria for deploying these courts in those areas you have specified?
We rely heavily on the judiciary and the local governments who make a request to us. For example, in Rang, since the High Court judge passed away some years back, there has been no High Court judge appointed in that area. So due to the demand from the public and increase of cases and backlog of cases, these are some of the factors that that make the court or that area to request from UNMIS support.
Okay. Yes, Professor Jerry, before we open our lines, I would like you to make this clear. You may paraphrase my statement or my question. First of all, I understand that most of the state have to wait from judges to come from Juba, right, to try cases almost all the time. So why is that so?
You have spoken about the deploy of mobile courts. Why mobile courts? Let me tell the politicians to stop this senseless war. We don't have an enemy from outside, but we are enemies of ourselves. Mm. We don't have a threat from outside to our country here. It is only us who are threatening ourselves. We have militias, army, okay, around our towns. Let politicians stop this senseless war. Let politicians agree to bring our brothers, the so-called opposition outside, to come in.
Hold that group.
To come in. We have a good initiative from Rome, San Egidio, and San Egidio is doing a great job. That is why Pope came to Juba and with his colleagues to tell our leadership that please come down.
Okay.
And the good our leadership is a Catholic. And he's supposed to adhere to his boss because he's a spiritual boss. Mm. Okay, if you are in leadership in politics here, that one is a spiritual boss. Mm. And all of us, we have to adhere to.
Okay.
And that is why we let us be a good faithful. And if you realize, Sir Martin, we Catholic, is if that we are the one spoiling our country. We are the leaders. Even Dr. Gerry is a Catholic. Mm. And even I was one day in Vatican. Mm-hmm. And we need to take care of us. Let us, the current cardinal, my brother, Stephen Amio, we were together with him in Shendi. He was a priest, a young priest there in Shendi. Until now he grew, he became...
In Sudan.
In Sudan, yes. I'm calling him to call all the Catholic leadership in South Sudan, including the president, for a retreat outside of the Juba town.
What will be the agenda of the retreat?
The retreat is to pray for them and clean them.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Our lines are now open. You can call us on 091-206-2079. Hello, Redi Mirai.
Marial.
Go ahead, Marial.
Thank you. I'm really for here the guest in studio, and the discussion is very fruitful. You know, we know that because here in South Sudan, the law is supposed to be enforced by the government, but now I want to ask the judge, is it correct for someone who is holding other position and then at the same time is participating in the system of the judiciary?
Okay.
And the second question is that when the right is violated, what about the normal citizen? Because now they are complaining a lot.
Okay. Thank you so much, Maria, from WOW. We do have a couple of questions coming in via our SMS number. This is coming from Duki in Ye, River County of Central Control State, and says, many thanks to the guests in the studio. They are very eloquent, the lady and the lawyer. All of them are lawyers anyway. And he says, Dr. Gerry, you seem to be more experienced in the way you speak. Were you relieved or you resign, and why are you not part of the system? That's from Duki. And then another one here is coming in from Pariang. Simon Akot from Pariang in Northern Baragaza State. He says, my question is going to Professor. The main challenge facing us is the common men and the ordinary people in this country is the commercialization of justice, as well as justice delayed, and even the system of immunity of some people against justice. How should everyone be equal before the law, not above the law? That's from Simon Accord. Another one here is coming from Moniki in Juba. It's coming from Daniel, and Daniel says, Professor Jerry, you are always in the court. Why are there more land cases than any other cases in our courts, and how can they be resolved, the issue of land issues? There are so many in the court, and some of them take years, and that is where somebody feels frustrated and he has to bribe so that his case can be heard. And the last one is to Doris. He says, it seems like ANWES is focusing so much in Upper Nile region, ignoring some areas like in Mundri, in Western Equatoria. There are so many cases of GBV in that part of the country. Are you considering also deploying some mobile court to go and try those court cases? Because the last time we had here, many people were tried and the citizens were very happy, and it sent a very strong signal to the local people. So we need more mobile courts in Mundri. Yes, Professor Gary.
Yeah. The first question of Marielle is about, is it correct for a person to have two positions in one?
Mm-hmm.
That one is illegal. It is unconstitutional. Each one is supposed to have only one position. You cannot receive money here and here. And this is rampant in South Sudan. You'll find people are working in other institutions of the government and also working in other institutions. And this is the work of our Minister of Public Service to clear all this, even in the judiciary, to clear all this.
So it's not correct?
It's not correct. It's unconstitutional, it is illegal, it is unlawful.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be like that.
Okay.
My
Doki,
that I should look to be active. Yes,
yeah.
I'm active since I was born. I'm active since when I was born because my grandfather Gary himself was a judge, and I grew with him as a judge since 1968 up to today.
So it is in the DNA.
It is a DNA. Okay. So Doki, I was sacked by the president by unconstitutional decision from our president. It was decision, presidential decision number 100.
You still remember?
Yes, 110. Because it's part of my blood. it's resolution number 100/2017 on the 12th of July. And we did not keep silent. People look to us here in Juba, we are silent, but we embarked the Court of East African Court of Justice. We file a reference number 9 of 2017. It is Honorable Justice Malek Mathiang Malek and others versus the government of South Sudan. If you Google now, you can get that judgment there.
Mm.
At the end, we win the case. We win the case. The presidential degree was considered to be null and void, and it was cancelled.
In which court?
It is in East African Court of Justice, First Instance Division. And it is now part of my classes. When I'm teaching, I teach that case to my students at universities.
Okay.
Yeah, so that one. But Doki, I'm still ready to come back to judiciary. I will come and help this country of ours, because I was not dismissed. I was sacked unconstitutionally. I did not resign. That is why people are saying, Gary, you come back to you. I'm ready to come, but not in raw position.
Okay.
This time. Then the question of my brother, commercialization of the judiciary.
Yes.
You know, always don't talk bad things about your leadership, but also sometimes you talk about the good one. Our Chief Justice, Honorable Justice Chandrich, has done a very wonderful job, especially in issue of the court fees. And he must be applauded and praised for that. We have in the Civil Procedure Act 2007, there's rules of procedure how to make court fees. And his committee has done a wonderful job to the people of South Sudan. Instead of paying 10%, then you pay first 5%, then later on during hearing you pay 5%, he came with another calculation of this 10%. Number one, you pay 5% if the value of the case is 30,000. You pay 5%. Then later on you pay 3% of that money. Then the balance is 2%, which is good. Okay?
So you pay in installment.
You pay in installment, and it is good. It is not the exact 10% which is known to us. And this is a good thing our Chief Justice has done, and let him keep that spirit, helping the people, the vulnerable people, to embark the court of law.
Okay, the land issue, because you are running out of time.
Yes. Why land issues are many in courts? Land is life. Land is life. Land is an asset. Land, people now, because those days, the people of South do not know about the value of the land. But now they know the value of the land, and especially in Juba here. The brokers are the one who raise the land. The brokers, not the owners, but brokers are playing because they are jobless. Mm. The young ones are jobless, they don't have any work, and that is why many of them are in the market, brokers, and are the one increasing all these prices. Let our government create opportunities to the young one. And as mentioned by our Vice President, Dr. Wanyika, let our young one to create agricultural farms for the young one, and let we make our young one to be in group.
Okay.
Okay, in group, in order to cultivate, and they will earn a lot. Since now, you can see what happened in San Martin. Sudan has now advised the government of South Sudan that our oil is no longer going because of force majeure.
Okay,
it's not going to be there. So the only source for South Sudan now, we are now, let us go back to revenue.
Okay.
And revenue is the source now because oil...
Having challenges.
Okay,
and let's go to Doris because our time is running up briefly in 1 minute as we conclude. The news is coming up in the next 2 minutes.
Yes, to answer the question from the colleague from Mundri, we determine the location based on requests from local government and based on assessments done by CSOs and ANMIS and other partners. Hence, for Yambio, indeed, we have not deployed a civilian mobile court there. What we have done in the past years is a general court martial. We have deployed GCM in Mundri last year, and we're also planning to deploy one more here because the SDBV offenses that we have assessed in that area are mostly perpetrated by the soldiers, hence why we opt for a general court martial. However, if there are civilian cases of that nature, we are willing to conduct an assessment there, and we will discuss with the judiciary because at the end of the day, it is the judiciary that is the final decision maker, and they prioritize the locations, and the CJ has to nominate someone for this mobile courts. Hence, we have to work in collaboration with the judiciary and based on their priorities as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, Doris Ponimoga, a lawyer and associate rule of law officer working for ANMIS. And we also have in the studio here Dr. Gary Raymond, delegate, former Chief Justice of the Court of Appeal, and
Sorry,
also a lecturer.
Former Justice of the Court of Appeal.
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much for coming. We hope to talk to you some other time. And that's it. We have for you this Thursday. Bye bye for now.